We've been looking at turning our hearts toward home. And I know this is Father's Day. We've already talked about fathers. I want to talk about children for just a moment. And I find it interesting that when you read what Paul writes, there are two occasions that Paul talks specifically to children. And in both occasions, one in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and the other in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, the thing that Paul says to children is this: obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. And in Colossians, he says, children, obey your parents in everything. He says, for this pleases the Lord. So parents, as I understand it, our primary focus with our children as we are raising them, according to Paul, is teaching our children to obey us. Teaching our children to follow our direction in life. And it's not always easy. If you've been a parent, you understand that. It's kind of like the little boy who was overheard praying one time, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time already. Or maybe it's like the two boys that mother was fixing some pancakes and she was trying to teach them how to share and said, now, Jesus wants us to always be willing to share with others. And that's what he did. He would give to others and take care of them. And the little boy, Ryan, turned to his brother and said, Mark, you be Jesus. Now I'll let you think about that one. We are with the task before us of helping our children, our young people, learn to obey. It's the mandate that God has given us as parents. To put it another way, what God wants us to do is to, as parents, to teach our children moral character. And we teach them moral character by teaching them to obey us and ultimately obey God. That's the goal behind it all. Because as they obey us, as they listen to us, as they learn from us, they ultimately, the goal is obey God. Obey God. Now, there are some things that prevent that from happening in our society today. Society is working against us, as a matter of fact. Things that undermine the honor and obedience of our parents. First of all, I'm going to call it corruption on the outside. It's the bent of our society. And what I mean by that is our whole society is hostile toward biblical truth as a whole. And if anything, what society tends to do is to try to teach our children to rebel against authority. Now, that's nothing new, because Paul said that that was going to happen. As a matter of fact, if you were to turn and look at what he writes to Timothy in his second epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 3, there in verses 1 and 2, he makes this comment. He says to Timothy, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will become lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy. Disobedience to parents, Paul says, is one of the things that would be coming in the last days. Our society is doing that. It is teaching our young people, you don't have to listen to anyone anymore. You don't have to obey authority. But along with that, when we think about the corruption that comes in from the outside, it's not just the bent of society, it's also the impact of technology that seems to be hitting us today. We live in a technological society. And what that does to us is it changes the way we respond to each other. Many years ago, fathers were craftsmen. And what I mean by that is a man knew a trade. And he knew that trade well, whatever that trade may have been. And over the years, that son would learn the father's trade. And the father's job was to teach his son his trade. Now, it would take years for the son to completely and thoroughly master the trade of the father. The father would always be better at it than the son until the father got on up in years and the son's skills began to develop. But things have changed today. As a matter of fact, today, children in elementary school are learning things that many of us as parents have never heard of. Have you ever tried to teach one of your children the new math that they're learning? You thought you knew it all. 2 + 2 = 4. You know, 4 × 8 = 32. I mean, I know enough math. I can add, multiply, divide, do all that. But then we start dealing with other things, and you're learning what? Let me read that book. I don't know if I know how to do this. I'm going to have to study your lesson, and then maybe I can sit down with you and help you with your own work. And so we understand that. And part of the problem is that each new generation quickly surpasses the previous generation in the knowledge that it possesses. And there's a temptation because of that for the younger generation to think of the parents as being out of date. Mom, Dad, you don't have a clue. Things have changed so much. You're just behind the times. And in society today, where knowledge seems to be valued more than wisdom, it is difficult for the older generation to be respected, much less honored by the younger generation. That's one of the problems we face. And then when you think of corruption from the outside, there's also the rapid increase in divorce. We have so much going on today in the way of divorce. And what does divorce do to our children? Well, you probably have known people that have experienced it. Because of the rapid increase of divorce, children are often called upon by a parent, or they're often required to honor one parent and to despise the other, because one parent cannot stand it that their child would honor this person who's left them and would show respect toward them. And so they struggle with that, and children are called in the middle of that. And not only that, there is some psychology that is being taught today in which children are called upon to blame their parents for every problem they've got today. You're no longer responsible for decisions you've made. You're no longer responsible for your actions. It's your parents' fault. And that's why you're the way you are. So a lot of those things are working against children obeying parents. That's the corruption from the outside. But then there's the sin on the inside. Solomon said it long ago. He said that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Have you ever thought, parents, that you don't have any trouble trying to explain to your children how to disobey? They've got that one down. They do not have a problem. Now, some of you parents have been blessed with children, maybe a child or children who have grown up wanting to obey and wanting to honor you. And if you have, then God bless you. Others of you have almost been on the verge of pulling your hair out because that child won't listen to you and won't acknowledge what you've told them to do, or they go off and do the exact opposite of what you've just told them to do. We don't have any problem with our children learning to disobey. They seem to get that one. That's the sin that's on the inside. But then the last thing that makes it difficult today is what we call just the immaturity of our youth. And all of us go through this phase. You know, when I was a kid, I did not understand why my parents had the rules they did. And sometimes I'm sure I thought, well, that's unfair. I want to be able to do this, or I wanted to be able to do that. And I even made myself a promise when I was about 12 or 13 years old. My dad one time said to me, when I asked why, you ever had a child ask why? And I said, why, one too many times, and he finally said, because I said so. I said to myself, I said, when I become an adult and I have children, I will never use those words. I did. I remember the first time I said to one of my children, when they kept saying, why, and I finally said, because I said so. And then it hit me. You just did what you said you would never do. These are struggles that we have. And when Paul tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, what he is telling us is that this is a responsibility that we as children have to our parents. And we have an example that we can look to. And the example is none other than Jesus Christ himself. He is God come in the flesh. He left the throne of glory to come to this earth to be raised by human parents. And yet Jesus in everything we see taught in Scripture, was sinless and perfect. And yet, even though he was sinless and perfect, he had to learn obedience as a child. And though he never disobeyed, though he never acted sinfully, he had to learn to submit himself to his earthly parents. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And if you look at what Luke writes in Luke chapter 2, after the parents find him in Jerusalem, when they had come to Jerusalem for the feast days and then had left with the caravan, and Jesus was not among the relatives, and they went back and found him speaking with the elders and the priest. And then finally he goes back home, and the comment that Luke makes is that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew intellectually, he grew physically, he grew spiritually, and he grew socially. But he did all of that learning at the feet of his parents. He obeyed them. And the process included that honoring and obedience to his parents. Even at his death, he looks at John and says, "Behold your mother." He was saying, "Take care of my mother for me." He honored her at the last moment of his life here upon this earth. Learning to obey. When Paul says, young people, obey your parents, it's something we learn. It's not built within us. It is a learning process. And obedience means that we hear and that we heed. It involves listening intently to what's being said and then responding to that, whatever it may be. There is an attitude that is implicit within that. It is an attitude of respect. It is an attitude of honor for that individual who is the mother or the father. And then along with that respect and that honor, there are external acts that follow from it. You do what you've been told. That's what it means when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It means that we line up under the parents' authority. We keep their rules. We listen carefully to what they have to say, and then we do what they say. But then he also says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. We are to obey our parents for the Lord's sake. Now, it doesn't mean that we only obey them, or we obey them only if they're Christians. That's not what Paul is saying there. He's saying we obey them because they stand in the place of God. They're not God. They stand in the place of God. We are to respect them and show them the honor and show them the obedience that we would show God. Just as we looked at 2 weeks ago, a wife and the way she responds to her husband, even as the church submits to Christ. Children submit to their parents. In Colossians chapter 3, as I brought out just a moment ago, children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. Now, he gives us here two reasons that we are to honor and to obey our parents. First of all, it is because it falls within natural law. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. It's the natural thing to do for children to obey parents. Is there anything that grates you more than to walk into a store or to be out in public and see a child that is berating a parent? It goes against your very senses because you say, that should not happen. No child should backtalk a parent. No child should respond to a parent in that way. We have a sense of what ought to be. And what ought to be is that children respond to their parents in obedient fashion. That's what Paul is saying. It's right. It's the way things are supposed to be. But then he also says that, as I pointed out earlier, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It is in keeping with divine law. We must obey and honor our parents because God commands it. And as we obey and honor our parents, it affects, Paul says, how long we live, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. He says it's the first commandment with promise. And I thought about that. What does he mean by that? Well, if you go back to the Ten Commandments and you go back to the law that God gave, It is the first commandment of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. The promise back in Exodus 20 is this, that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. God attached a promise to children's obedience to their parents. Because if children did not obey those parents, then what he's saying is, you're not going to stay in this land very long. Because you're not going to do the things that honor me when you do not honor your parents and you do not obey your parents. The general rule, even in today's society, and young people, if you don't hear anything else that I've said in this whole sermon, listen for the next few minutes. The general rule in society is this, and that is that children who honor and obey their parents live longer and they live better. Let me say that again. Children who honor and obey their parents live longer and they live better. Here's why. Three reasons. Number one, a child who obeys his parents will regularly be warned away from harm's way. Your parents, young people, God has placed over you for a purpose. We have an impetuous nature about us when we're young. I have watched my grandkids, you know those little safety things that you put in plugs so that they don't just stick their fingers in the socket and get shocked? I have watched my grandchildren pull those off. They learn how to do that. Those safety things don't mean anything. They know how to get around that. And then they want to stick things in them. And what do you as parents do? Get away from that. Don't touch that. You'll get shocked. Or you've got a stove eye on. The stove eye's hot. Stay away. Maybe you've even yelled at them when they got a little stool out and crawled up there because they wanted to see what mama was cooking. And it was for their safety. You warned them away from harm and danger. Don't go out in the street. Why? Because you know they don't think about things like a car coming along and a driver not seeing them on their bicycle. They just think, hey, it's easier to ride on the road than it is to ride in this yard. You know the outcome, the potential that is there. And so as parents, we have a responsibility to warn you away from things that are harmful to you. And that's why we say, don't get too close to the edge of that bluff. Don't do this, don't do that. It is because we're trying to keep you safe from harm and danger. And so listening to our parents and obeying them means that we are going to be warned away from things that are harmful to us. Don't play with snakes. Why? Snakes bite. And you may pick up a poisonous one. Okay? That's what we do. But there's another reason. It is because our children, by listening to us and obeying us, will be warned or spared the bad habits and the bad friends that tend to shorten their lives. Young people, there are things that you can get into that will shorten your life. Bad habits that you can take up. And those things will keep you from being able to live a long and fruitful life. I've known people who have died at an early age, and they died because they got into things that led to a shorter life for them. I have known young people who have followed poor influence because they've chosen friends who have not been good friends, and they've led them down the wrong path. They've gotten them involved in drugs or alcohol or something else that has ended up shortening their lives. And parents, are when they ask you, where are you going? Who are you going to be with? Whose house are you going to? And you say, why are you meddling in my business? The reason they're meddling in your business is because they care about you and they want you to live. And they want you to enjoy life. They don't want to see your life end at an early age because of some poor choices. And that's why they are so into your business, as we sometimes hear children say. It's because they're caring about you. But then the last one, young people, the last one is this. You're going to be far more likely to develop a healthy character and healthy character traits because you've listened to your parents. Disobedient children are much more likely to develop harmful traits. Your parents have lived a little while on this earth, You may think they don't know anything. And no, they may not know the math that you know in school, and they may not know how to work an iPad or an iPhone or a smartphone or any of the other things that you have so easily picked up and adapted to, but they do know a few things about the way life works. And one of the things they know is that there are certain character traits that if you're going to make it in society, you need to develop in your life. And ultimately, the greatest character trait is to be an individual who honors Christ with your life, choosing to obey His will. Long ago, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 30, verse 17, that the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Young people who do not listen to mom and dad face a life that is not going to be an easy one. You're going to have far more difficulties in life than you realize. And I know I'm old for some of you who are young. But like many of these adults in this room, I've been down a few roads in life. I'm thankful I listened to my parents and hopefully have made good choices. And I have seen others, friends of mine, that didn't make good choices and ended up not being here today because of some of those choices. Of all the things which Paul could have said to children, he chose to say two things. Children, obey your parents. And secondly, honor your father and your mother. Respect them. Care for them, even when they get old, because they're your parents. And have you ever wondered why he didn't say more? Why he didn't say other things and bring other things in? I believe it's because these two principles, if they are faithfully followed, will cause children to grow up respecting mom and dad and honoring mom and dad, but ultimately loving God, honoring Him, following Him in life. Those children who honor their father and mother will demonstrate respect and deference for those who are older. And those people who do that are good parents. Now, I've spoken to children this morning, but parents and adults, let me say this. There are two questions I want to ask you. One is, are you teaching your children the things which are pointing them to salvation and to an eternity with God? Because if you're not teaching that, you're not teaching anything worth teaching. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to learn how to catch a ball, and it's good to learn how to throw a football, and it's good to learn how to fish and how to hunt and how to drive a car and all these things. Those are good things. But the ultimate thing that we as parents need to teach is how to be a Christian and how to live for God. That's the ultimate goal of parenting. And secondly, are you a parent who is worthy following? Are you worthy of the respect you demand from your children? That's what God expects of you. Our Heavenly Father is looking for godly homes. Is yours one of them? I pray that every one of us in this room can say the same thing Joshua said long ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're not a Christian, and if your home is not a home where God is honored and where He is faithfully served and where Jesus Christ is the Lord of that home, if you have never obeyed Christ in putting Him on in baptism, then our plea to you this morning is to repent of sin and come to Him in obedient faith. If you need to respond, we ask you to come as together we stand and sing.